Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our family are falling apart. We as a nation have totally failed.
Oh Lord, forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn our faces back toward you.
Saturday morning to you. This is If My People Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Pastor Leona Ross. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's been a while. So happy to be back online with each and every one of you. Today's topic is the cleansing process. We'll be discussing the question, now that I am saved, now what? What do I do? You know, what happens to me now? How do I continue on in this walk in Christ? But first of all, as always, we have a little praise and worship music for you. We have a couple of songs this morning, Simply Put by Fred Hammond and Byron Cage, Still Say Yes. It is just for your listening pleasure. I do not own the rights to any of this music. Immediately afterwards, we will be jumping into our topic, the cleansing process, and I know that it will truly be a blessing for you. Right back after the music.
I want to take this time here and dedicate it to the broken. I want to talk to you for a moment. You see, I've been on this Christ walk for a good minute, you know. And I understand that there are some who got the thing figured out and down pat. But for the rest of us, every now and then, you know, life happens. And we need to simplify a little bit. This is the reason for this song. And I hope you hear my heart on it.
That can be changed.
deepest revelation, so I can stand.
Tell the nations,
the nations what it means. But I found the greatest gift wrapped in your salvation. Really much more simple than it seems. So I relinquish all my weary observation. Leave my so-called sacred knowledge at the door. When you died, you answered every single question. I get a little bit needy. And I am
we'll be right back.
Amen, amen. Again, this is your host, Pastor Leona Ross. I am your host today of If My People Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to each and every one of you. God bless you. I want to thank God for allowing you to come on the line this morning or this Sabbath Saturday afternoon. Again, our topic is going to be the cleansing process. As I stated before, many times when we confess Christ and we come into Christ, we are disillusioned with the teaching that everything in our life is, that everything is just going to be all right. It's not going to be any complications. Everything is just going to be hunky-dory, but that is the furthest thing from the truth. We know, you know, once we confess Christ, we give him permission to enter into us and renovate our house. Romans 10 and 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth and unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, whoever you are. And let us take time right now to call upon the name of the Lord in prayer right now. Father God, in the mighty name of Christ Jesus, Lord God, I ask that you bless, Lord God, the hearers, Lord God, that they may become doers of your holy word, Lord God. Decrease me and increase you in me even the more, that these thy people might see you, Lord God, and accept you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that this word is edifying to the body of Christ, Lord God, that lives might be changed. And God, I give you all the glory, I give you all the honor, and I give you all the praise. I thank you, Lord God, for hearing our prayer and answering our prayer. In the mighty name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, let's jump into our topic. I said before, once we confess Christ, we give him permission to enter into us and renovate our house. And what I mean by that is that our thought pattern changes. And once our thought pattern changes, our behavior changes, because we know that no renovation starts from the outside. Let me say that again. No renovation starts from the outside. You just don't decide to purchase a house and you know that it is in need of renovation, and you don't go on the inside and look to see what the damages are and what needs to be repaired. You might see it might have a nice brick finish on the outside that looks immaculate. But then when you go on the inside, the floors are torn up. There is mold in there that you got to deal with. See? So we must deal with the inside damage first. As I said, if there is a mold issue, we have to get that abated first in order to even start the process of renovation. See, because if you're familiar with how mold works, you inhale it and it contaminates your inner body, your lungs, causing you not to be able to breathe and other such things. See, because the mold can contaminate or cause harm to the renovator. You're the one that's renovating. You're the one that has now purchased this property. Now this property belongs to you. And now you need to go in and fix it up and clean it up. The same is true once we confess with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you've given him permission to come in and start the renovation process, but he starts from the inside. See? So in order not to cause harm to the renovator, we must first have a change of heart and mind. Our old ways of thinking must be renovated to conform to the ways of Christ. Now, don't let me, you know, let us not be deceived now. The evil one, Satan, the enemy, who has held us in sin all the days of our life thus far, before confessing Christ is not going to willingly allow you to give your property over to a new tenant, namely the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. See? Because he, the enemy, loves the mess that you are. He loves to keep you muddled or burdened down in sin, feeling unwanted, feeling unloved. See? He likes to keep you in that cycle of, I say, spiritual abuse. See? He likes you to think that, oh, I can't do any better than this. While constantly our Father, which art in heaven, is constantly calling to us, saying, oh, I have better for you. See? I have better for you. I have called you to greater. This is not who you are. This broken down, ramshackled shack is not who I called you to be. I have called you to greater. In his word at Matthew 11 and 28, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest from every sin that so easily besets you. You don't have to feel ashamed. You don't have to feel unwanted. You don't have to feel unloved. You don't have to settle for less than what I called you to be. I called you to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. I called you to be kings and queens. I called you to the blessing that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. When you allow me to operate in every area of your life. But we're going to start from the inside. We're going to start from the things, the hidden things that broke you as a child, that keeps you broken, that keeps you thinking that, oh, well, this is the best that I can do. When I've called you to hire, I want you to see the value that I have placed on you, a value that I thought that you were so valuable to my kingdom that I sent my only son to die for you so that we, you and I, the Lord Jesus Christ, could come into a solitary relationship, even to the point where I called you my wife. So I'm calling you out of Egypt. I'm calling you out of sin. I'm calling you out of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm calling you out of Lodabar, which we know in the Bible, all these places were places of sin. They were places of captivity for God's people. And God's heart was so enlarged for his people that he had to, in Egypt, he had to send Moses. In Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent the angels to Lot and told Lot, leave this place because tomorrow it's finna burn down. And don't look back. Don't look back on this sinful place. Keep moving forward in what I have called you into. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, see, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, the path that God has set us on. See? What he is doing on the inside of us. Let us not let our minds wander back to the sin or the situation or the circumstance that God is wanting us to be free from. In other words, let us not long or lust after those things that had us entangled. See? That had us so broken down and hurt that we would settle for less than that which God has promised us. See? Deuteronomy said he has caused us to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. See? Those things that keep you feeling ashamed and unworthy, in essence, are erased from you. The Bible says that we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things, therefore, are passed away. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things. He didn't say some things. He said all things are become new. So you don't have to look back at the old person that you were, as the Bible says, the old man that you were. You look forward to everything that God is going to do for you. Now let's get back to the renovation of this house. Remember I said that if there is a mold issue, you have to go in and abate that mold so that the workers are able to come in and start the repairs, whether it's the walls or whether it's the floor or the bathroom, whatever area of that house that needs to be torn up and made new again. Now that that mold issue, that cloudy mind, that dirty mind, those dirty thoughts, those thoughts of less than, now that those things are gone away, because now that you have read that I have called you to greater, see, now that you have read that in Romans 8 and 1, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. See, that you no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Now, all that moldy thinking, see, all that, you know, lack of self-identity can go away because now you know who you are in Christ. You're beginning to recognize the promises of God on your life. You realize now that you don't have to settle for less. You realize now that in Christ you truly are a new creation. You can look in the mirror and look at yourself and confess the words of Christ that I am beautifully and wonderfully made in Christ, and I don't need to sell anything less than what my Father has promised me. See? In the process of renovating your house, God is filling it with newness. Things that you never thought that you would be able to do, like stop smoking, stop drinking, stop fornicating, and any other vice or sin that you once were entangled in, while at the same time giving you the power and the authority to resist every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy. Luke 10:19 says, "For I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means will what? Will harm you." In his word is the answer to defeat the enemy, to defeat the situations and circumstances that come in my life and up in our life. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that, you know, situations, circumstances, or temptation is not going to come upon you. See? When Jesus was in the wilderness, he fasted and prayed for 40 days. After his fast, here comes Satan. And he's questioning his identity. He's questioning Jesus as to who he is. Now, God already said when he was baptized, he said that this is my son in whom I am well pleased. See? At Matthew 3 and verse 17. See? He said, I'm already pleased. Jesus hadn't even done anything yet. But he said, I was pleased. See, and that's what God does for us when we accept Christ. You know, they said when one soul is saved, in the Bible it says that when one soul is saved, the angels rejoice. Because now you are allowing the master of your house, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come in and to begin renovation, to come in and begin to do a work in you. See? Now you've given him permission. He can go in and change your mindset. But not only that. See, Jesus came out of the wilderness, and here is the enemy. See, they called him the tempter. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, he said, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But Jesus said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See? That is the example that Christ set for us. We are justified not by man, but we are justified in Christ Jesus. in your walk in Christ, when you tell people, oh, I'm saved now, they still going to be looking at the flesh, at the outside man. See, some people will criticize you because, you know, you just confess Christ and a week later you're still smoking or a week later you're still drinking. See? But God don't care anything about that because he's doing a work on the inside of you through the Holy Spirit that is eventually going to deliver you from all of those vices. He's going to take, as they say, the very taste from your mouth. And you're not even going to notice it. All you're going to know is that you wake up one day or somebody brings it to your attention that you don't smoke anymore or you don't drink anymore. See, when we're renovating a house, all the people see in the neighborhood is the workers going in and out of that house. They don't know what's going on in the inside unless they come over and look through the windows. They don't know that the mold problem has been abated, that the stairs that were torn down and broken have now been renewed, so now you can go up to the next level in the house. They don't know that the bathroom that was basically condemned now has a facelift, a new tub, a new toilet, new tile. They don't know that. See, because the doors to all of that, as God is doing the inner work in you, as I say, the cleansing process, the doors through to all of that is closed off to everyone else. See, only you know about the night that you cried on the side of your bed, crying out to God to ask him to please change you, to ask him to please take away the various vices of sin that was in your life because you wanted to be pleasing unto the Father. See, that's that inside work that nobody sees, but they see the outside stuff. See, and they want to judge you and condemn you. And remember we said at Romans 8 and 1, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We are justified by Christ. Only you know what you went through to get to the place that you are in Christ now. See? You know the fight. Nobody else knows your fight because you are living it daily, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. Asking God to keep you, to change you, to bless you. See? So that you can come into a closer relationship with him. This is the newness of Christ. And as we know, with every new relationship, every new physical relationship, you know, when we meet people and we find ourselves, we say we are interested in them and we want to start a relationship, the first thing that we do is we have to introduce ourselves. Once the introductions are made, we have to get to know each other. And how do we do that? We do that by spending time with each other. Where, and today we have all this, you know, internet and social media and instant messaging and face chat and all of this stuff. Back in the day, it was just a simple landline and face-to-face conversation. We actually spent physical time with each other. The old people used to say, oh, you're courting her? Are you courting him? You spent time to get to know who each other was. We used to, back in the day, in elementary school and middle school, we used to say we write love letters to each other. You know, have a little box. Do you like me? Check yes or no. And I know some of y'all familiar with that because that's what we did to get to know that person. I want to know how you feel about me. Well, that's the same process that when we are introduced to Christ, when we confess salvation, Christ takes us through that process. He constantly reveals himself in our lives to let us know that he is indeed concerned about every area of our life, that he is indeed working on every area of our life that we allow him access to. I'm going to say it again. He is indeed working on every area of our life that we allow him access to do so. See? And once we allow him access to do so, he goes in, he takes the broom, the mop, you know, the bucket, you know, the spackle, the concrete, whatever it is, the wallpaper, the glue, the grout, whatever it is that he needs to rip up and tear out of us to make that thing new, to make it conducive to his spirit. Because now, remember, he's the new tenant in the house. You know, the enemy hanging around on the outside because, you know, he's done been kicked out. His lease has expired, and he can't get back in. Now he out there crying, talking about, I'm homeless. Oh, you got to let me back in. Remember when we did this, or remember when we did that, and you're saying, oh, no, Satan, I'm not interested in those things anymore. You can't bring that back to my door. So once he can't pique your interest, then he wants to form a guilt trip. See, he tries to bring up every indecent thing that you have done and make you feel guilty or ashamed about it. He'll bring up the sexual sins. He'll bring up the lies you told. He'll bring up, you know, any other vice that you may have had in your former life. See, because now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Those old things are passed away. You're not that person anymore. See? So he'll bring all that up to you. Remember when you used to did this, but you say you were Christian. How you were Christian. And this is who you were. Well, the Bible says that this is what you were, not what you are. Paul is talking to the Corinthians. And he said, he names all of these things. See? He says, this is what you were, not what you are. Because now that you are in Christ Jesus, you're not that anymore. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. See? That's what Paul tells his people. He says, this is what you were. See? This is not you anymore. So don't allow the enemy to dictate you your past. See? Let me read it for you. Let me get the scripture. 1 Corinthians, because I really want to make it plain. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 7. He say, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Know you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or infamous, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. He said, don't be these things. This is what you were. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. See, he doesn't deny your past. What he's telling you is that it don't have no reverence to you now. It has nothing to do with who you are now. Because now, because you have accepted Christ, you are sanctified. You are justified, not because of what you have done, but because of the work of that Jesus Christ is doing down on the inside of you. The newness that he is bringing to your house that nobody can see, because he's working down on the inside of you, regardless of what the outside looks like. Now, the old man might look the same to other people who see you. That's because they're not aware of the work that is going on the inside of you. They're not aware that there is a new owner, a new tenant that is now living on the outside of you. And because the enemy, who is a deceiver and a liar, is running around on the outside trying to make everybody say false things against you, to judge you, to say, oh, well, oh, you supposed to be saved. You can't do that. Really? God already died for my sins. The Lord Jesus Christ already died for my sins. So what are you talking about? I'm not justified by the words that you say, Satan. He's going to use anything and anybody to make you feel less than, to make you doubt your salvation in Christ. But I'm telling you today, just as it takes time to renovate an old house, cleansing is a process. That's why it's called the cleansing process. It is not going to happen overnight. Yes, you are going to make mistakes because you are not perfect. Don't let that mistake kill your relationship with Christ. In our own physical, worldly relationships, we go through times when we may hurt our spouse or we hurt, you know, our significant other, as they call it. We hurt them. We either do things or say things that is not pleasing to them that hurts their feelings. But at the end of the day, if that is a sustainable relationship, we go back, we come together, and we what? We work it out and do what? Forgive each other. The Bible says we must forgive 70 times 70 on a daily basis. We don't hold that against them. And the same is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he died for every sin that is known to man. It's already forgiven. So when we go back to God and we say, Father, forgive me, you know, I yielded to temptation. Forgive me. Help me. Guess what? That's what he's going to do. He is not going to turn his back on you and say, oh, no, now you just keep doing the same thing and you just keep doing the same thing. No, I'm not even talking to you no more. You know, you just in it on your own. No, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you through this process so that at the end of the day, you don't even desire that anymore. All that is turned away from you. It's an old thing. See? The Bible says we overcome by the words of our testimony. Those things that Jesus Christ brings us through, those things that he takes away from us, that renovation process becomes a testimony to somebody else. Oh, this is what God delivered me from. Amen. See, this is what he changed me from. This is what he brought me out of. We don't see it in the going through process because we're so caught up in our emotions. We're so caught up in the circumstance. We can't even see the way out, but God is telling you, I've already made a way out because you belong to me now. I've already made provision down the road because you belong to me now. And now I am walking you into the process of discovering who you are. Remember back in Matthew 4, as we was reading, Satan came to Jesus. He said, if you be the Son of God. See, he said, if. In other words, he's asking you to prove who you are to him. And as I said, you ain't got to justify yourself to anybody. You know what God is doing on the inside of you, and that's all that matters. The Bible says we should please God rather than man. So why are so many of us running around trying to prove our salvation to somebody? That relationship is between you and God. See? The Bible says, so a man will leave his family and cling unto his wife. See? And being that Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride, we leave everything else behind and we cling unto Christ. We belong to Christ. We don't belong to man. Now we are his. We are divinely and innately his. See? So we don't need to justify ourselves to all those folks. Oh, if you was really saved. Oh, if you was really in Christ. Oh, no. The Bible says work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling, not by what the words of the people might say. See? And then Satan not being satisfied, you know, in verse in verse 5, he said, so then the devil take him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, see, he's still questioning in his identity. He said, cast down thyself, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. And what was Christ's reply? Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, that's in relation to people coming to you, and you still might have a circumstance, a situation in your life. And he say, oh, well, you know, if you was really saved, then God wouldn't have let this happen to you. You must have did something against God because this calamity came into your life. Nowhere that it says anything about that. See? He tried to get Jesus to throw himself off a building just to see if God was going to save him. No. You have to know that through the renovation process, through the cleansing process, no matter what the enemy throws at you, God got you. It might not feel like it. It might not look like it. But at the end of the day, God has already made a way out for you. So it might not look like that sickness in your body is getting any better. But God said he sent his word and he healed them. In Psalms 107 and 20, and delivered them from all, not some, but all of their destruction. Everything that the enemy sent at them, God already made a way out for you. Yes, just like renovating a house is going to take time, sometimes years, the process of cleansing and the process of salvation will take time and sometimes years. Because remember, you didn't just walk into this sin yesterday. This sin has held you captive all the days of your life, whether it's 40 years, 10 years, 30 years, 50 years. You were in that sinful mindset. And let's be honest, you're just not going to come out of that overnight. Your flesh is just not going to yield to the what the spirit is telling your body just like that overnight. You're going to have some times when you lust along after those sinful things. But your mind will say, God will quicken your thoughts by the Holy Spirit and let you know that's not pleasing to God. And when you confess the word of God, the enemy has to flee. That's what Jesus said. It's written, man should not live by bread alone. I'm not yielding to my flesh. See, I'm not yielding to temptation. I don't have to prove anything to you. Just because I'm going through a situation or just because something happened in my life does not mean that I'm not saved. Does not mean that God is not with me. Just because you can't see what he's doing down on the inside of me does not mean that he's not working on me. See? Because I see the provision in my life. I see the changes in my life. You might not can't see them. You might not acknowledge them. But what does that have to do with me? See? Case in point, David, when he fled from his son, because Absalom had taken the kingdom. And he had came to this place in 2 Samuel 19 and 22. He had came to this place, and it was this one man, and he was just going off on David. He was cussing him and everything else. And he said, what does that have to do with me? See? What do we got to do? That ain't got nothing to do with him. Don't you remember when we did wrong, you know, in Jerusalem? Remember that? So what do that got to do with me? What does that have anything to do with you? And he blessed them. See? He blessed them. And this is the story. At 2 Samuel 19, if you want to read it, you can start at verse 14. He said he won over the hearts of the men of Judah so that they were all of one mind. Then sent word to the king, return you and all your men. Then the king returned and went as far as the Jordan. Now the men of Judah had come to Gilgal to go out and meet the king and bring him across the Jordan. Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjamite from Barahim, hurried down with the men to Judah to meet King David. With him were 1,000 Benjamites along with Ziba, the steward of Saul's household, and his 15 sons and 20 servants. They rushed to the Jordan where the king was. They crossed at the ford to take the king's household over and to do whatever he wished. When Shimei, son of Gera, crossed the Jordan, he fell prostrate before the king and said to him, may my lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind, for I, your servant, know that I have sinned. But today I have come here as the first from the tribes of Joseph to come down and meet the Lord thy king. Then Abishai, son of Zariah, said, shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He cursed the Lord's anointed, bringing up the past. He already just came to David, knelt down to him and say, hey, forgive me. Then David replied to Zariah. He says, what does this have to do with you, son of Zariah? What right do you have to interfere? Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? Don't I know that today I am king over Israel? So the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king promised him an oath. Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, also went down to meet the king. He had not taken care of his feet or trimmed his mustache or washed his clothes from the day that the king left until he returned safely. When he came to Jerusalem to meet the king, the king asked him, Why didn't you go with me? And he said, my lord, the king, since I am your servant and lame, I said, I will have my donkey saddle and I will ride on it so I can go with the king. But Ziba, my servant, betrayed me, and he has slandered your servant to my lord, the king. The lord, the king, is like an angel of God, so do whatever you wish. All my grandfather's descendants deserve nothing but death for my lord, the king. But you gave your servant a place among those who eat at your table. So what right do I have to make any more appeals to the king? See, feeling unworthy. See, listen, I was deceived. This is what Mephibosheth said. I was deceived by people. See, I listened to other people and I was led astray, but now I am back. Those people betrayed me, but now I am back. The first story said, what does that have to do with you? So when people come to accuse you, when people come to try to make you justify your salvation and your walk in Christ, your response, what does what you have to say do with what God has called me to do? If God has already forgiven me, if God is my justification through Christ Jesus, then I don't have anything to prove to you. Long as I know that I'm on this straight and narrow path, whichever way God is leading me, as long as I know I am following Christ, what you say does not matter. See? We have to have that intestinal fortitude to know that, hey, whatever you say ain't got nothing to do with where God is taking me. See? And as he is renovating your house, as he is tearing down those old things from down on the inside of you, renewing the bathroom, those dirty thoughts in your mind that you used to have, those hateful thoughts that you used to have, getting revenge on people, when somebody did something to you, you wanted to go and do 10 times worse to them. Removing, see, that need for revenge. See, removing those things, you know, in the bedroom, because you were with people and you thought they loved you, but they mistreated you. See, not holding that against them, but forgiving them wholeheartedly and loving them yet in spite of. See, those things in the kitchen where you gave out to people, where you poured out to people, and they just took it for granted. They took your kindness for weakness. See? And God is removing all of those old things and restoring it. See, giving you a new mindset, giving you a new thought process, that you see people, that you begin to see those people as he see them, as souls, and that you are able to forgive them through prayer, through supplication, through reading the daily word of Christ and finding out who you are in him. See? I'm not saying it's going to come overnight, because it's not. In case in point, it took me 10 years to get over my first husband, to fully forgive him and not trying to plot, plan, and scheme to go back and get revenge. See, for how he treated me. But accepting the fact that, yeah, I played a part too. Because I allowed those things, because I was caught up, you know, in worldly things and what people thought and how people, you know, viewed divorce or how people viewed me. And I was just going to prove to them that this marriage was going to work regardless of what they said. Not realizing that all my efforts were futile because Christ was not in the middle of it. I didn't pray and ask God, should I marry this person? I didn't pray and ask God, should I even date this person or even have children out of wedlock with this person before we got married? I did not consult Christ. So when I say how I played a part in the decision-making process, see, but even though God did not bless the mess or condone the marriage, as we say, he still made a way out for me, because from the beginning of time, guess what? He knew that I was going to be Pastor Ross. So he had to cause me to live and not die. He had to cause me to overcome the circumstances and the consequences for the decisions that I had made in my life that were not pleasing to him, because I was steeped in sin. See? He had to make the way out. He wasn't going to just allow me to be destroyed. See? Because he had a plan for me. Remember, the Bible says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. We just walk them. Excuse me, people. Excuse me. We're just walking through the process. What he did in the spirit already, now we're just walking out in the natural. See? Because remember, he said on the seventh day he rested. It was done. It was completed. God had already spoken us into existence. See? And the enemy comes thinking that he can change what the word of God has said over our life, but he can't. He doesn't have the authority. Remember, he said, I have given you power and authority over all the powers of the enemy. He may have held you for a time, but when he has ran his course, when your mind comes, oh, well, I think I want to be saved. I'm tired of living like this. I want my life to be changed. See? All of his influence, everything that he has used against you comes to an end. Because now God Christ is the new tenant in your house, and he's putting up signs, he's putting up warnings in your life, so you see it from afar when the enemy's coming. You're like, oh no, Satan, I recognize you. That's the process. That's going through the cleansing process, you know. And nobody comes in and cleans a whole house one just in one fell swoop. No, they clean one room at a time. And God says, okay, I see you. I see you hurting in this area. Let me work on this. I see you hurting in that area. Now that you're a little bit stronger in this area, let me go over here and start working on this now that that room is clean. Now that that situation, now that that way of thinking is no longer affecting you. You are strong enough now to stand up to every plan and scheme of the enemy in that area. So let me go over here and clean this so I can strengthen you in this. See, that's the renovation process. That's the cleansing process, just as you renovate a house. See, you start out with those things that are the most dangerous to your stability, whether it's your emotional, mental, or physical stability. You start with those things, and you renovate them and get rid of them first and bring them to the newness, so that now, instead of being a hindrance to your life, they are beneficial to your life. See, they edify the body of Christ. They no longer take away. They're no longer, you know, edifying the enemy or increasing the works of the evil one or the works of Satan in your life. No, that's been abolished. That's been put away. And as I said, he running around on the outside trying to cause calamity. But God says that I have put a hedge of protection around you. Nothing that he can do is going to harm you. You might feel, you know, the little bumps and bruises, but at the end of the day, guess what? He still loses. Why? Because I am the one that is fighting for you. I'm the one that's maintaining this house, because you know what? Now I live here, and now I live here, and everything that is unlike God, everything that is unlike me, it has to go. It is thrown out. It is utterly destroyed, and it cannot stay here, because now this is my house. I'm doing the renovation. I'm making old things new. I'm bringing you into the realization of who you are in me. See, the next temptation that Satan, you know, brought to Christ after he told him, you know, I'm gonna go by what proceeded out of God. I'm not gonna tempt the Holy Spirit, because I know he got me. So then in verse 8 in Matthew 4 and 8, Satan says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give you if thou would just fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. See? People will promise you the world. Oh, don't go to church today. You ain't got to go to church today. Oh, you ain't got to read your Bible today. You ain't got to read your Bible. Come on, let's go to this concert, or let's go to the park. Anything to interrupt the work that God is doing in you. They want to make something else seem more important, or make something else seem more glamorous than the work that God is doing in you. But you're at the point now in the cleansing process that nothing is more important than your relationship in Christ. You don't care about what your girlfriend's got going on, going at the club. No, I'm going to go to church. You don't care what concert is going on. No, I'm going to go to church. You don't care about what movie your friend's watching in the living room. No, I'm going to study my Bible right now. This is me and God's alone time. See? Because that relationship becomes the most important thing to you. See? Because now you know that you have been equipped that God is equipping you for the battle. He is teaching you who you are in Him. He has given you power and authority and a new way of seeing yourself, and that you see yourself in Christ Jesus. You no longer see yourself as one of these people. Oh, well, I'm just a sinner. Oh, well, I can't do no better. No, you see yourself as a person that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what I can't do, God can. Does it make you invincible? I'm not saying that. But he makes you able to recognize every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy. He makes you recognize holiness and righteousness and making the right decisions for your life. And not just going through life anymore blindsided, doing whatever, going willy-nilly, rather than trusting and seeing God moving in your life. See? You now see him moving in the circumstances and situations that before you thought were impossible for you to overcome. See? Because why? Because now you have walked through them. Now you have come through them. See? And all the ideologies and traditional and theological things people are throwing at you, you know, you are able now to recognize the truth of the matter because now you have a personal relationship with Christ. And as it say in Timothy, you're now no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along because now you are beginning to know Christ for yourself. So it doesn't matter what anybody else is saying. It doesn't matter. You know, them coming to you and saying, oh, well, you know, if you were saved, you wouldn't be dressed like that. Or if you was really saved, you wouldn't be talking like that. No, no. I'm sorry, sweetie. Salvation is a process, and I'm just going through the process. I'm going through the cleansing process and still giving God the glory for all that he is doing in my life right now because he is making me in his image. He is still making me. He is still working on me. He's still renovating me. And I can say where I was, I'm no longer there. I am not the same person that I used to be. I am truly a new creation in Christ Jesus. So it really doesn't matter what you got to say. All that matters to me is what thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ about me, concerning me. See? Now, I can introduce you to Christ, to the God that I serve, and you can come to know him as I am coming to know him. See? And then maybe you understand that this salvation walk is just that. It's a walk. It's not a run. It's not a sprint. See? See? It's not an Indiana 500 speedway where you're going 200 miles an hour trying to get to the finish line before everybody else. But it's your own personal relationship, your own personal walk in Christ Jesus that you ain't got to look over to the left or to the right. You're looking straight ahead, staying focused on that which God is doing in your life. Not worried about what he's doing in Sister Sally's life, a Sister Betty life, a Brother John life, a Brother Joe life. No, you're focused on what he is doing in your life so that you can be the best person in Christ Jesus that you can be and eventually become a light to others. Because they're going to see, oh, girl, I remember you when you was going through this and you used to, because they're always going to be people who bring up your past. But then there always, God is going to send people in your life that's going to help lead and guide you to your future in Christ Jesus, strengthening you. See, edifying you. Letting you know that, baby, it's okay. God still got you. He will never leave nor forsake you. You still good. God still is here with you, no matter what. Let them talk. Let them slander your name. Because at the end of the day, they ain't got a heaven or hell to put you in. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, our Father, which aren't in heaven, has this say-so over our lives. Why? Because now we belong to him. And everything that we need to make it through this Christian journey, to make it through this believing journey, see, he's already equipped us with. Just like when you start in kindergarten, you might not know how to write your name. You might not know, you know, A through Z, but he's teaching us along the way and revealing to us the power and authority and the abilities and gifts that he has laid down on the inside of us that he wants us to utilize to bring glory to his kingdom, not to us, but to his kingdom. Remember I said earlier, you know, we overcome by the words of our testimony. See, that we say, oh, this is what the Lord has brought me out of. This is what I used to be. This is how I used to think. But by the grace of God, I'm better. I'm greater. I'm stronger. I'm more secure in Christ Jesus. And not only is God saying that I'll never leave or forsake you, that becomes our confession. I'm not leaving God for nobody. I'm not leaving Christ for anybody. I don't care what you say. Think what you want to think about me. I'm not leaving my God. You don't got to believe what I believe. You ain't got to think the way that I think. But at the end of the day, it's me and Jesus. It's me and the Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of what you think about me, regardless of how you feel about me, I know what he has done for me. It's your own personal relationship, your own personal testimony, your own personal resolve. See, because now that you've gone through the cleansing process and all those things that hurt you, all those things that used to keep you entangled, see, you're fighting daily. It's a fight. Remember, the enemy is just not going, oh, no, man, you done took my house. I might be on the outside, but, you know, I still got a little bit of influence, and I'm going to try to get back in. He never stops trying to get back in. Never. He'll use blatant attacks. He'll use subtle attacks. You know, as I said, first, in the beginning, it sounded like, oh, you ain't really saved. You ain't going to stay. Come, then he gonna come to you crying, talking about, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I ain't really mean to do this, da 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 da. Then he gonna try to guilt trip you. Then he gonna threaten you. Oh, you're gonna die. But the word said, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. See? See? All those tactics that he's gonna use to get you to break your resolve to be in Christ Jesus is not going to work. See? And then you really see who the enemy is firsthand, because you realize he was not concerned about you. He didn't care about you. He definitely didn't love you. His only thing was that he wanted to fight against God. See? To say that I told you they wouldn't serve you. I told you that they wouldn't love you. You made these little lowly dust of the earth people in your image, and they don't even honor you. But your obedience to the laws and to the word of God makes Satan a liar every day of your life. That you endeavor to be obedient to God, that you endeavor to learn more about Christ, that you turn your back on worldly things, fleshly things, and truly begin to live by the Spirit. You slap him in the face. You keep him under your feet, and you keep the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up in your life. See? That's how he's defeated. Because your love of God is greater. It becomes your priority every day. The more he cleanses, the more he takes away all of the hurt, all of the brokenness, all of the trauma from your life. I'm not saying things is not going to come up in your life that's not going to hurt, but it says that God is your comforter. See, in Philippians, he said he gives you the peace that passes all understanding. That means that everything that is going on around you now, you know, okay, God, I know you got that. I know you're going to handle that. So I'm not going to be stressed about it. And as it say in Matthew, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Remember, I got you. See? So don't take no thought, you know, to any of that. Just know that I got you. See? In Matthew 6, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, at verse 25, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. It's not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. See? And if I provided for you then, won't I provide for you now? So when these things come up in your life and the enemy tell you that it's not going to work out, see, remember, I am with you. See? He says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You ain't going to be lacking nothing. You ain't going to be missing nothing. Just keep me first in your life. That's all you got to do. He said, take no thought therefore for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. I got you today. You're living today. You're living today. Honor me. Praise me. Acknowledge me in your life today. I'm taking care of tomorrow. You just take care of today, keeping me first. And it's a daily walk. Because remember in Matthew, when the disciples came to Jesus and he said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And the first thing he told them, he said, our Father, not just my Father. He said, our Father, which art in heaven. Holy. He said, holy is thy name. And the next thing he said, give us this day. He didn't say give us these days. He said give us this day our daily bread. In other words, Father, give us everything that we need for today, regardless of what it is. Whether we need money, whether we need finances, whether we need a house, whether we need clothes, whether the enemy is running roughshod all over our lives and causing evil thoughts or unvain thoughts to come to our mind. Lord God, you give me what I need for every plot, plan, scheme of the enemy, every provision, everything that I need for this day, because I'm living in the moment. See, God, unlike us, God is not restricted in time. We're the only ones restricted in time. We're the only ones to count the hours and the minutes. That's why the Bible says that he is a very present help in the time of trouble. When we call upon him, he say, you have not because you ask not. See? He tells us to come to him in all sorts of prayers. See? Through the cleansing process, let us not forget that anything that we need from God, we are now free to ask him. Why? Because now we are a part of his kingdom. Now we have given Christ access. That's just like a child asking, they, you know, coming into the kitchen, asking their parent, they're in there cooking, the child is hungry. Can I have something to eat? Can I have some bread? Now, what good parent is going to tell that child to go somewhere and sit down? No, they're going to say, yeah, if you're hungry, baby, come on and eat. They're going to make you a whole sandwich. They're going to prepare a table before you so that you can sit down and eat, as it says in Psalm 23. See, in the presence of your enemy that's telling you, those enemies that's telling you that God ain't going to do it, that God can't do it, that you not saved enough. What is saved enough? Remember, there's no degree of sin in Christ Jesus. So there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So what is saved enough? There is no degree of salvation. Once you save, you save. And God begins working in your life to the extent that you allow him to. See? Don't be afraid to go through the cleansing process. Don't be afraid to allow God to come in and renovate your whole house, to fill it with his Holy Spirit, that all things might become new, that you might be enveloped and encased in his power and authority and truly covered by his blood, regardless of what the situation or circumstances look like. Because only then will you know true joy and true peace and true unconditional love in Christ Jesus. But you have to be willing to fight through the cleansing process. See? And it doesn't end. As I said, it's a daily thing. It doesn't end until you leave this earth. And as Paul said, I have finished my race. See? I have fought the good fight. It didn't say that once he got slapped off the horse and spent those 14 years learning about the Lord Jesus Christ that he was good. He said, no, I have fought the good fight daily. Now I am ready for my reward. Regardless of what these people think about me, regardless of what I used to do. Yes, I used to be a persecutor of the Christians. Yes, I used to be a persecutor of God's people. But when I came into a right relationship with Christ, I repented of all those things, and those things are behind me. And God is now able to use me to establish the churches for his people, that his people may come together in household to household and study and learn about his word and learn who he is. We're able to rejoice together and edify each other in the words of the Lord God. See? So we never stop fighting. You don't just clean your house after it's been renovated. You don't just clean your house one time and it stay clean forever. No. You got to constantly go back in because you know you got to eat. You know you got to sleep. You know you got to take a bath. So that kitchen and bedroom and bathroom has to be cleansed daily. And that is the word of God and the word of prayer that we should engage in daily so that our house, our temples, as the Bible calls it, may remain in a state where the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is free to dwell comfortably. That keeps the enemy at bay where he can never enter in again. Amen. I do hope that this word was edifying to you, that you can take away something from it that gives you the will, you know, and the power to realize who you are in Christ Jesus, and that you indeed are conquerors, you are indeed overcomers through Christ Jesus, and that you are able to walk the path that the Lord God has set out before you, and know that nothing can separate you from the love of God, that you remain determined to do all that God has purposed for your life. This has been Pastor Leona Ross on Blog Talk Radio. If my people, I do thank each and every one of you for joining me today. And we're going to go out of here as always with J. Ron Nurse. Tell somebody about Jesus. See? See? Because after we are saved, that's our mission. That is the Great Commission, to tell somebody about Jesus. So I hope, as I said, this word has blessed you. and it has given you something to think about. Until we meet next Saturday, stay in Christ. I love each and every one of you, and be blessed. We'll see you next Saturday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, If My People.
Tell somebody about Jesus.